Well, welcome back to our study as we're going to continue in chapter 8 here through the book of Esther. And so we saw on Tuesday about how, or we talked about on Tuesday, about this idea of interceding and praying for those who are far from God. And so hope you've been doing that since you've watched this video. I hope that you have made a list of some names and you're praying for those people and begging God to save them, and because it's going to take a work of God in their heart to save them. And so we need to be interceding for people who are our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors, but also those who don't have access to the gospel, right? People that are far from God in other countries, and certainly the unreached people groups around the world who have no gospel message there. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And so I hope you've been praying for that, but we're going to continue this thought here in chapter 8, and beginning in verse 9. Look at what the Bible says. It says, "The king's scribes were summoned at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day, and an edict was written according to all that Mordecai commanded concerning the Jews, to the satraps and the governors and the officials of the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, to each province in its own script and to each people in its own language, and also to the Jews in their script and in their language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed it with the king's signet ring. Then he sent the letters by mounted couriers riding on swift horses, and they were used in the king's service, bread from the royal stud, saying that the king allowed the Jews who were in every city to gather and defend their lives, to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate any armed force of any people or province that might attack them, children and women included, and to plunder their goods. On one day throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. A copy of that was written was to be issued to a decree in every province, being publicly displayed to all peoples, and the Jews were to be ready on that day to make vengeance on their enemies. So the couriers mounted on their swift horses that were used in the king's service, rode out hurriedly, urged by the king's command, and the decree was issued in Susa, the citadel." And so notice what they do. They can't revoke that order. So now they have given the Jews every opportunity to defend themselves if anyone should attack them. Because think about it, this decree was put out, and they didn't know if their neighbors who had been their friends were going to attack them or kill them. They didn't know what was going to happen. And so this gave them the opportunity and the right and the authority to respond if anyone attacked them. And so he uses like the same language that's in that first decree, but says, hey, the Jews can do that to anyone who attacks them. And so now it's like, well, hey, if you do anything to them, they can do something back to you. And so that was the way that they handled this, to try to protect themselves or protect the Jews, because they didn't want it to become a big civil war or take any, you know, didn't want to hurt anybody or anything like that. So now essentially both sides were protected. And so that was their way of protecting the Jews. Now, what I want us to see in this is that how God has worked through this to protect his people. But also notice specifically in verse 10, it says that he wrote in, I'm sorry, in verse 9, it talked about that this went out to all the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127, to each province in its own script and to each people in its own language. And it says that they even wrote it in the Jews' language so that they could receive the message. So it was sent out through the whole kingdom, and it was written in every different people's language because it was important that they all got the message, including the Jews. So the Jews received the good news in their language. And so here's what I want us to think about. The good news that they received was that their life had been spared. I mean, they had been living now for weeks and months just knowing that their day was coming where they could be wiped out. They could be killed. But now they receive the good news that, hey, that's no longer going to happen because now there's protection in place. But notice that this had to go out in everybody's language so that they could understand. And so here is our continuing what we talked about in the video on Tuesday, is that here we see that it's important that the message got out in everybody's language for them to understand. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time in this video to talk about it. But when you study church history and you see what men went through in history when they tried to translate the Bible, because there were groups and there were churches that had such a hold on the Bible in one language, in Latin. That's where the Catholic Church kept the Bible under their authority because it could only be in Latin. It could not be translated. And there's men like William Tyndale and John Wycliffe, and you can study other people, that every time the Bible tried to be translated into another language, those people were like captured and burned at the stake. And so when we read the Bible in English, we have to understand what it cost men for us to be able to do that so many years ago. I mean, William Tyndale, when he was captured and he was about to be burned alive at the stake, his prayer was, God, open the eyes of the king. And it was just a couple years later that the first King James Bible was then, translation began for that the king authorized. That was his prayer when he died, was to open the eyes of the king. And then the King James Bible translation began. I mean, only God can do that. Only God can do that. And so when we're praying evangelistically, like we talked about in Tuesday, we also need to be praying for God to get the word out. Because it's one thing for us to pray for people, and that's where it begins. That's what I said on Tuesday. That's where it begins. But then there's also the part of, we have to get the word out. So we need to be praying for people that are far from God, but then we need to be praying for opportunities to take the word to them. So pray for opportunities, pray for those people that God would work in their heart, but then say, God, help me to take the good news to them. Because Paul says it very clearly in Romans. He says, how will they hear if no one preaches to them? How will they hear if no one takes the word to them? And so while we're praying for people evangelistically, we also need to be praying that we can take the word to them. Because that's what they had to do here, was they had to get the word out to everybody. So to the people that we're praying for evangelistically, then we also need to pray for opportunities to get that word to them. But then, bigger picture, if we want to see God's kingdom grow and we want to see people that are far from God come to saving faith, then we need to pray that God would send out laborers to the world. This is one of the things that has really helped me think like that is, and this was actually from my evangelism professor. He talked about the 10-2 prayer. So what I do, what he does, and I do this now, is I set an alarm on my phone for 10:02 a.m. every day. And when that alarm goes off, then I stop whatever I'm doing and I pray for God to send laborers. Because we get that from Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. And listen what the Bible says. Here it says in verse 2, it says, and he, this is Jesus talking, said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So we set an alarm. He does it, and I've started doing that as well. So 10:02 a.m. every day, I pray that prayer. God, send out laborers into the harvest. And it says to pray earnestly. So I'm praying for God to send out missionaries, to send out the gospel to places that I don't even know. I'll never visit. I'll never know anybody there. But I'm praying, God, send out laborers. And I pray for here in my local community. I pray for my state. I pray for my country. And so different days, I kind of pray differently. I try not to make it the same every day, but I'm praying, God, send out the word, send out missionaries, send out the gospel, and then God, do a work in their heart so that there will be fruit there, so that there will be a harvest, because it's his harvest. But I'm saying, God, send out laborers to them. And I'm also praying for opportunities for me right here in my community. And so maybe that's just a practical thing that you can do for this, because we talked about we need to be interceding for people far from God, and now we need to be getting the message out to people, both in their own language, you know, around the world, but also here, the people that are close to us, the people that we know, the people that you know, the people I know, we need to be getting the message to them as well, here locally and around the world, because we can't just be saved just so for our own comfort. Like, that's not why God saves us. He saves us so that then we can be ambassadors. We can be heralds. We can be proclaimers of the good news that saved us. We can take that to others. And so we can see just how important it was to them to save their people. And so we need to be doing the same thing even today in our world. Because I think, you know, if we think about it, if you had a cure for cancer, you're going to want to tell everybody that. If you were on a ship that was sinking, you'd want to get everybody that you could on a lifeboat, right? I mean, if we had these things, if you've got a house burning down, you want to get everybody out of it, right? I mean, you want to try to save yourself, but if you've got family in there, if you've got friends, if you've got loved ones, you want every fireman to go in there. You might even try to go save them yourself. Why? Because it's life or death, right? You don't want to lose anybody. Same way with the boat. You're like, let's cram as many people in here as we can. Got a cure for cancer. Hey, let's get it to everybody. I got a vaccine. Let's get it to everybody. Why? Because you want to save their life. You want them to, the people that you care about, you want to save their life. And even just being compassionate, you want to save everybody's life. You don't want anybody to have to deal with that kind of loss. But do we approach the gospel, the thing that eternity hinges upon, do we have that kind of urgency with it? And I'd submit that we don't. We're comfortable with our way to heaven, and we lack this kind of urgency that we see here with Esther and with Mordecai. And so, and myself included, I'm there too. This is not me pointing at you. This is me saying, oh me, right along with you. And so I would encourage you to really just spend time in prayer on this and ask God to give you a heart for people lost, people that are far from God. Thank him for what he's done in your life, but to help you and to help me. And let's pray for each other that we would have this kind of urgency, because every day, every minute, every hour of every day, there's people who die, and they die apart from God. What are we doing to share the gospel and to pray for people that are far from God so that they won't die and go to hell, but they'll die and spend an eternity with God? But that can only happen when they hear the gospel and respond in faith. And so may we pray for that, and may we get the word out, because life hinges on that, what we do with Jesus. And so I know that's really challenging and heavy, and I know that it feels that when we talk about evangelism, there's this weight, especially when we talk about the unreached people groups and things like that. But here's my question. Who's one person that you can tell this week? Or this weekend, or whatever? Who are two people that you can tell this month? Like we feel like the weight of the world is upon us, but who's your one? Who's your two? Who's three that you can tell before the end of the year? Like, it has to start somewhere. And so pray for opportunities, pray for people, and then take opportunities to share with them. Because God was so merciful and gracious so that you could hear the gospel. Now let's take that to a lost and dying world so that they too can know the saving faith of what God has done for them. So I'm praying for you, and you pray for me, and let's pray that God will send laborers out. And here's the awesome thing. When we do that, we're the answer to the prayer, because now we're going out to the harvest, and we're planting seed. And God is the one who brings the harvest. We might be planting seed, we might be watering the seed, but then we'll get to see God bring the harvest in that. So God bless you. Thank you all for all that you do, and thank you for your prayers. And let's just see what God's going to do through this when we're faithful to take his gospel out. So God bless you. Have a good rest of your week.